Tayo po ay nagpapatuloy sa ating sermon series na ang tawag na The Gospel According kay Mark. And na kung saan inaaral po natin ang life at saka ministry ng Panginoong Hesukristo. At tayo po ay naglagay sa chapter 10 na hintuho tayo a few weeks ago. Ang chapter 10 po ay nakatuon sa paglalakbay ni Jesus Christ at saka ng kanyang mga disciples papunta po sa Jerusalem. Itong paglalakbay na ito ay sumasagisag din ng tema ng pagtuturo ni Jesus o pag-disciple niya sa kanyang mga disciples. Ito po ay series of discipleship lessons that he was teaching them on the way papuntang Jerusalem. So ito po ay teaching opportunity niya sa kanyang mga disciples. Last time po, it was a discipleship on marriage, which is naaral po natin yon, divorce at saka marriage. Ngayong gabi naman to po, it will be a discipleship on children, riches, at saka rewards. Ang dalangin ko po sa pag-aaral ngayong gabi nito ay mapaalalahanan po tayo na ang ating pananampalataya ay dapat nakaangkla lamang sa Panginoong Hesukristo at wala na pong iba. At dapat handa po tayo isuko ang lahat para mamuhay para sa kanyang kaluwalhatian. Kaya po ang main point ng ating mensahe ngayong gabi na ito ay the cost of following Christ may involve great personal loss, but the return is always eternally greater. The cost of following Christ may involve great personal loss, but the return is always eternally greater. We have divided itong passage into three points. Number one, a lesson on trusting like a child, verses 13 to 16. Two, a lesson on trusting riches, verse 17 to 27. And number three, a lesson on true reward, 28 to 31. Number one, a lesson on trusting like a child. Sabi sa verse 13, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. So yung day, sino ba yung day ho dito sa nakikita natin sa verse 13? Ito po ang mga tao po from the crowds. Kung naalala nyo yung chapter 10 verse 1, there are maraming crowds. So hindi lang isang crowd, kundi mga grupo-grupo po ng mga tao. So yung mga crowds of people na ito na nabanggit sa verse 1, ang maaari ito yung mga tatay, yung mga nanay, mga ate, mga kuya. No? Sila po yung nagdadala ng kanilang mga bulinggit na mga anak papunta po kay Jesus Christ. Now, touch, yung nabanggit din yung word na yan na touch, inadanlap so that Jesus can touch. Ano ba yung sabihin ng touch po na ito? It means either to touch on the head or sa shoulders or yakap or pagbuhat sa makikita natin later. But sa sign po na gusto nilang i-bless. Ito po ay kaugalian ng mga Jews na kung saan if there are great men that they honor and they admire, dinadala nila yung mga bata na ito in order to bless yung mga batang ito. Mga bata na ito ay probably below 13 pababa, ang mga 12 years old pababa po yung mga edad. Ngunit sa mga disciples ni Jesus Christ, imbis na i-usher yung mga bata papunta kay Jesus, nirebuke nila. Nirebuke niya yung mga batang ito. Ang word na rebuke dito, which is interesting, is the same word na ginamit ni Jesus sa pag-rebuke ng mga demonyo. It's the same word. Sa Mark 1:25, 3:12, 9:25. Ito'y kapamamaraanan ng may kaharasan, no? Yung pagtaboy. Hindi nabanggit kung bakit ginawa ng mga disciples ito. Hindi natin alam. Pero kung naalala ninyo ang inaral natin sa chapter 9, verse 36 to 37, ang mga bata nung time na ito, hindi kagaya sa panahon natin ngayon, they are viewed as insignificant. O isang liability kasi nga that they drain the family's resources. So yung mga disciples ni Jesus Christ were treating yung mga batang ito the way their fallen culture would. They were acting like political bodyguards ni Jesus Christ. No? Walang-walang lalapit. No? Winawalis nila, tinataboy nila kung sino man ang lumapit kay Jesus. They view itong mga bata na ito as a hindrance. They view these children as an inconvenience. They show lack of spiritual sensitivity. Kaya nga po, tignan natin kung how Jesus responded sa ganitong klaseng asal ng mga disciples. Tignan po natin 14 to 16. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Nung sinabi ni Jesus na such belongs the kingdom of God sa mga batang ito, hindi niya sinasabi po na ang heaven o ang kaharian ng Diyos ay punong-puno po ng mga bata na nagtatakbuhan. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi niya. Hindi rin niya sinasabi na lahat ng mga bata ay pupunta ng heaven kasi sila ay hindi nagkakasala at inosente. Hindi po yun ang sinasabi niya. Those who do not, ito ang point eh, those who do not have a faith like a child will never enter the kingdom of God. Yun ang sinasabi po niya dito. Kasi ang characteristics ng isang bata o ang katangian ng isang bata, gaya po ng pagiging mapagtiwala, mapagtanggap, at dependent sa iba to provide for their needs and to care for them and protect for them, ay mga katangian na taglay na mga tao na sa tagakaharian ng Diyos. A heart that is humbly reliant, quick to listen, very trusting, tender yung heart. Yung po ang mga kailangan na puso na lalapit sa Panginoong Hesukristo. Ang pagbuhat ni Jesus dito, mapapansin nyo, binuhat niya yung bata, no? Ang pagbuhat ni Jesus sa mga batang ito ay pinapakita ang pagmamahal niya sa mga ito. Jesus had a special love or affection sa mga bata. Kaya nagalit siya sa mga disciples. Nagalit siya kasi ang mga disciples were preventing the children from receiving yung love galing kay Jesus. And Jesus giving them love. Kaya nagalit, indignant, nagalit si Jesus. Friends, do you view your children as an inconvenience? An interruption sa inyong peace and quiet after a long day of work or after a long day ng gawaing bahay? Ito ba ang dahilan kung bakit natin madalas sila napapagalitan o nai-ignore? O madalas ibigay ang kanilang gusto kahit nakakasama sa kanila ito o hindi pa sila dapat magkaroon ng ganoon na karanasan o bagay. Pero for the sake na matahimik, ibibigay natin. Para lamang mapatahimik sila at hindi magambala ang iyong pagpapahinga o maantala ang iyong kinaabalahan o kinalilibangan. Sa mga magulang na nandito, tito, tita, o may mga batang kapatid, o may mga batang kapatid, o kaya naman ang inyong hanap buhay dito sa Dubai, isang OFW na nag-aalaga ng mga bata. Isang napakahalagang paalaala po sa atin na dapat natin matandaan at masakatuparan. We should love children to Jesus. We should love children to Jesus. Dapat po natin mahalin ang mga bata na nilagay o pinagkatiwala ng Panginoon sa ating buhay upang ituro natin ang pag-ibig ng Diyos sa kanila. Be a father or a mother or be a father or mother figure who will be patient, gracious, intentional and instructive sa mga bata na ito kahit hindi sinusuklian ang ating pagmamahal o tila bagay hindi nagbabago. May Christ's love for us overflow on how we treat yung mga children sa mga batang ito so that they would see yung love ng Panginoong Hesukristo sa ating buhay. Sabi nga sa verse 1, di ba? They brought them to Jesus. Another way of loving them is by bringing them to Jesus. Hindi po ba? Leading them to Jesus Christ. Share the gospel of hope to your children. Kahit awkward, kahit mahirap, at kahit inconvenient, kung tayo namamasukan, sa tingin nyo parang bawal, be intentional sa mga pinapapanood ninyo sa kanila. Sa tablet, sa TV, sa computer, be intentional. Hindi lang iibigay natin at bahala na sila ron para naman makapaglaba ako. And that's very understandable logistically. You're trying. It's hard. Full-time mother, nasa work si mister. We got 6 kids running around. But if you're going to do that, be intentional. Be thoughtful. Make sure that there is the gospel sa kanila. From the music sa kanilang mga pinakikinggan, sa mga napapanood, sa kwentuhan na nangyayari, at sa pagdisiplina ninyo sa kanila. Let them see the beauty of Christ and Him crucified. Make the gospel clear to them. I know Friday mornings are challenging sa mga bata, even sa parents, na gumising ng maaga para mag-online Crossroads kids. We know that's not easy. It's because mahirap gumising, lalo na pag late galing dito, or it's been a long week, you're looking forward to that weekend. But friends, parents, we need to be intentional. We praise God na kasama niyo yung mga anak ninyo ngayon, because there are some who are praying na makasama nila yung anak nila ngayon, na pinagpray mo ngayon na nandyan sila ngayon. Di ba pinagpipray natin that we would point them to Jesus? And this is one way of doing that. We praise God sa mga dedicated teachers po natin who prepare and wake up early to help you lead your children to Jesus. They're here. They're partnering with you. We are thankful sa lahat mga nasa Crossroads kids, mga nagtuturo, yung mga teachers. Hindi ko na kayo patatayuan, but I know who you are. We're thankful for sa leadership ni Michelle Maynes at saka ni Edgy Lorbes. We're thankful for them every week, early morning, hoping that they would bring a soul, a young soul to Jesus. And parents, take advantage. Don't see that as an inconvenience. Not only should we love and lead children to Jesus, but we should also learn from them. Paano? We should have a faith like them, theirs. So, Christians, how would you describe your faith in Jesus right now? Do we come to Jesus with hearts that are full of fully trusting Him, fully relying on His sovereign will, care, and provisions? Yung ba ang puso na? Yung ba ang posture ng ating puso ngayon? Or do you ever come to Jesus late? When was the last time you come to Jesus? Baka hindi na. Friends, coming to Jesus requires a heart that is humble and hopeful sa Kanya. Trust God as the ultimate soul provider and protector of your lives. Trust in Him even though you do not understand. Kasi kung hindi tayo nagtitiwala sa Panginoon kagaya ng pagtitiwala ng isang bata, marahil po iba ang ating pinagkakatiwalaan. Which we go to our second point. A lesson on trusting riches. Basahin mo natin verse 17 hanggang verse 27. Or 18 muna. And as he was sitting on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Nung nag-aanda na si Jesus sa kanyang mga disciples sa biyahe papunta na doon sa Jerusalem, may isang mama na nagmamadali na tumakbo sa harapan niya at lumuhod. Sabi ni Matthew, sa Matthew 19:20, Matthew describes him as a rich young man. Samantalang si Luke naman, yung mga parallel passages, sa Luke 18:8, he is a young ruler. So I believe we can call him a rich young ruler. Ito po yung description ng mamang ito. Itong rich young ruler came to Jesus with a sincere question. Actually, yung posture ng kanyang paglapit sa kanya is very humbling. Kasi usually, ang mga Jews, parang sila malakang kandurang damit. Hindi nila inaangat yan. Kasi pag tumatakbo sila, inaangat nila. Kasi that's shame, nakikita yung sakong nila. It's culturally shameful. But this man ran. So ibig sabihin, inaangat na yan. Hindi lang yan, lumuhod sa harapan ni Jesus. So a picture, a posture of humility. Itong rich young ruler na to, like I said, ask a very sincere question. That's a really good one. Pero ang problema, mali ang question niya. Second, mali ang pagkakilala niya kay Jesus. Tingnan po natin yung dalawang yan. Una, tinawag niyang good teacher. Ito isang common na pag-address ng isang ordinaryong guro na ginagalang at tinitingala ng mga tao. Ang problema po, si Jesus ay hindi isang ordinaryong guro. He's not ordinary. Hindi niya nauunawaan ang kanyang sinasabi. He doesn't understand yung pag-address niya kay Jesus. Bagamat tama, through our lenses ngayon, kasi nasa atin yung buong Bible, dama lang na Jesus is good. That's why kinorek siya ni Jesus eh. Jesus challenged him na pag-isipan niya ito mabuti. Since God is the only one who is truly good, in short, sinabi ni Jesus, handa ka bang tanggapin ang pagka-Diyos ko? Kung sabihin ko sa iyo, ingatan ka kung paano ka magbitaw ng salita, huwag ka basa-basa, hindi mo alam kung sino'ng kausap mo. Jesus doesn't want him to use this title carelessly para pang formalities lang. And sometimes we hear ourselves, hindi po ba minsan, na we use mga Christian jargons just for formalities. Kailangan natin ingatan din po yung mga Christianist language natin na nagiging filler lang. Amen, hallelujah, praise God. I mean, these things are good language. But we better understand na gamitan natin ang context yun na hindi parang for formalities lang o magtunog Christian lang ako. Okay? Use them intentionally. If there's something to praise God for, then use it. If there's something na kailangan saying amen and hallelujah, use it. Kasi si Jesus, good, sigurado ka, alam mo yung sinasabi mo. Baka formalities lang yan. Bukod sa mali ang pagkakakilala nila kay Jesus, mali din ang kanyang tanong. E ano ba ang tanong niya? Tingnan niya yung verse 17. What must I do to inherit eternal life? This, I'll tell you why this is wrong. Because this assumes na may kakayanan siya makapunta sa kaharian ng Diyos. What must I do? Yung pala mali na eh. Di ba? So, paano sinagot ni Jesus ang tanong na ito? Verse 19 to 20. You know the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor father and mother. And he said to him, Teacher, all of these I have kept from my youth. Sinagot ni Jesus ang kanyang tanong by testing his obedience sa law. Particularly yung Ten Commandments. Tinanong niya ang ikalawang bahagi ng Ten Commandments. Kasi may first part ng Ten Commandments, man's commitment to God, commandment number 1 to 4, and man's commitment to man versus commandment number 5 hanggang 10. Yun po yung pagkakahati. So yung second part ng Ten Commandments, binanggit niya. Yung commandments number 5 hanggang 10 na matatagpuan po sa Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 to 17, na kung saan binasa ni Pastor Jan yung bahagi nito kanina. The rich young ruler with confidence and sincerity, sinagot niya kay Jesus, Oho! Simula nung pagkabata ko. Probably he was around 13 years old kasi yung age ng boyhood na kung saan tinitrainan nila yung bata ng ganong edad. He was relatively a very moral, decent man. Hindi siya rebelde, hindi siya masama, hindi siya pasaway. He's a morally decent man, a religious man. Pero kung ganito po ang kanyang kalagayan, bakit nagtanong pa siya kay Jesus kung paano makarating sa kaharian ng Diyos, kung maayos naman ang pamumuhay niya, kung siya naman ay religyoso, kung siya naman ay nagpapagamit sa Diyos, ba't nagtanong pa siya? Di ba dapat alam na niya yung sagot? Could it be that this rich, religious, young ruler's conscience is troubled? It's troubled. Troubled by thinking that all that he possesses, all that he has achieved in life, all the authority at his disposal, and all the good things he had done to others are not enough for him to enter eternal life?
Gagawa ko to eh, pero parang may kulang eh. Ba't parang nagugulo yung aking kalooban? Ay, nandun yung Jesus, punta na, hindi ko na kaya to eh. That's what's happening sa heart niya.
Ang sino mang nagtangka pagtrabahuan ang favor ng Panginoon ay laging magdududa kung ang mga nagawa niya ay sapat na upang makamit ito. Laging pagdududahan. He thought, by obeying the law or doing good to others can grant him access to the kingdom of God. But God's law demands perfection. Kailangan perfect. Because the law also requires not only an outer obedience, but an inward obedience. Isang bagay na walang tao ang makakagawa. Yes, this man may have been morally decent. Marahil decente itong mamang ito. But Jesus knows that he did not obey the law perfectly sa kanyang puso. Tingnan niyo sa verses 21 to 22. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away, sorrowful, so for he had great possessions. Alam ni Jesus ang tunay na isyo ng kanyang puso? At kung ano talaga ang kanyang Diyos-Diyosan at sinasamba. Jesus asked him to sell all his possessions and follow him. At nalungkot itong mama na ito sa kanyang narinig. At ito pong nakakalungkot sa kwento na ito. He rejected Jesus. He rejected him. This rich young ruler worshipped his great wealth. He worshipped his position. He worshipped his power. He worshipped his influence. He worshipped his comfort in life. Ang kanyang hadlang ay ang pag-ibig niya sa kanyang kayamanan. Pag-ibig sa kanyang posisyon. Pag-ibig niya sa kasarapan niya sa buhay. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Hindi po masama magkaroon ng pera o kumita ng pera, pero ibigin ang pera, yan po ang kasalanan. He failed to obey the first and second commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make idols of any kind and bow down." He failed that kasi he worshipped money. He also rejected the New Testament, yung first and second greatest commandment. The first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12:30. He loved money more than God. And another thing, he hated his neighbor, which is Mark 12:31. Love your neighbors as yourself. So he disobeyed two commandments. Why did you say, Pastor, that he hated his neighbor? Because he doesn't want to sell his possessions and give it to them. Specific si Jesus, to the poor. Hates it. Now, hindi po nangangahulugan, okay, na dapat lahat ng mga mayayaman ay ipamigay lahat ng kanilang pera at ari-arian. Hindi naman po yun. Hindi po yan warrant na sundin natin ngayon na ganon. What Jesus is saying is that we must not be attached to material things and be controlled by it. Mga kaibigan, ang pag-ibig sa pera o ari-arian o sa ating posisyon sa trabaho ay mapanganib. Because it makes us believe that we do not need God, I just need money. Money becomes our supreme satisfaction in our life. But the tragedy dito po, the tragic thing about this, it can never satisfy you. You want more and more. You've gained more and more, but you are still unhappy. Bakit? Kasi it's never meant to satisfy us. Ginulat muli ni Jesus sa kanyang disciples ang sinabi niya sa verses 23 to 25. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter to the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Now, pagdating po sa camel entering the eye of the needle, may mga nagsasabi po na ito po raw ay may isang makitid na gate nung time ng panahon na ito. Isang makitid na gate na papasok po sa city ng Jerusalem. So ang ginagawa po nila, may mga camel, is pinaluluod nila yung camel, pinagagapang, at pinagkakasya po yung camel sa makitid na gate na yon. Pinipilit yung umbok niya sa likod para masuot upang makalusot sa gate na ito. So iyon yung isang view about this. Ngunit naniniwala karamihan ng mga scholar na ating pinagkakatiwalaan na kaduda-duda po yung claim na ito. And this is what I believe kung ano sinasabi dito. Gumamit si Jesus ng talinghaga o proverb na ang ibig sabihin ay imposible para sa isang mayamang tao, isang mayamang tao iligtas ang kanyang sarili sa pamamagitan ng salapi, sa pamamagitan sa pagtiwala ng pera at sa kanyang kayamanan. Now, very intentional yung sinabi ko po ngayon. Hindi ko sinabing imposibleng maligtas ang mayayaman pag may isang mayaman na nakakilala sa Panginoon and responded to God. Praise God! Ang sinasabi ko po rito, ang isang mayaman na nagtitiwala sa kanyang kayamanan at salapi para maligtas. Imposible. Friends, money is dangerous because it blinds us of our need for Jesus. God becomes irrelevant and insufficient. Tignan niyo verse 26. And they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, then who can be saved? Sabi ng mga disciples. Nagulat ang mga disciples kasi sa Jewish belief, ang mga mayayaman at may posisyon sa panahon nila ay isang palatandaan po na yung blessing or favor ng Panginoon ay nasa mga taong ito. Tapos religyoso pa. Kaya nung nalaman nila na hindi, paano na lang? Sino na lang maliligtas? Kami? Paano pa kami? Kasi ito yung mayaman, kasi ito may posisyon, kasi ito really, kasi yun ang basihan. Hindi sa basihan ng Panginoon Hesukristo. Verse 27, Jesus looked at them and said, with man it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. All things are possible with God. Now this is one of the most used and misused verses sa panahon po natin ngayon. Na kung saan ang sinasabi, kaya ng Panginoon sagutin lahat ng mga imposibleng prayer request natin. Yun yung premise na ginagamit ng ibang mga ngaral. Pero ang problema rito, this belief also assumes that God will grant sinful prayer requests din. Which is hindi consistent sa character ng Panginoon yun. So hindi po ito ang tamang paggamit ng verse na ito. Ako, natalo ako sa sugalib, wala tuloy akong pambayad sa dewa. God will provide. He is the God of the impossible. Eh, teka muna. Diba? Eh, hindi tama yun. Ang konteksto nito ay papaano maliligtas ang isang tao. Simple lang ang sagot ni Jesus Christ. Salvation is totally God's work. Yun ang sagot niya. Apart from God's saving grace, it is impossible for any man, especially mga mayayaman na nagtitiwala sa kanilang ari-arian, maligtas. Salvation is of God alone. Yun ang sinasabi niya rito. Imposible ang tao iligtas ang sarili, pero sa Diyos hindi imposible. Ang author ng Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 14 na si Solomon says, chasing riches is like chasing the wind. It's a worthless pursuit. Mga kaibigan, ang pag-ibig natin sa pera at mga ari-arian ay wawasakin tayo. Kasi we will always want more. The more money you have, the more you're not satisfied. Kasi you always want more. The rich young ruler loved his money. That's why he chose it over Jesus. Ito ang gusto ng rich young man, ano? Rich man, young ruler. Gusto ko lahat ng aking ari-arian at kayamanan. At the same time, gusto ko rin si Jesus. Yun ang plano ko. Yun ang hinahanap niya sagot eh. O, may Diyos-Diyosan ako. Dami kong kayamanan. Bilyonaryo ako. Pero gusto ko rin si Jesus. E ano sabi ni Jesus sa Matthew 6:24? Ito ang sinabi ni Jesus. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Mamili ka. Friends, if your money is keeping you from Jesus ngayong oras na ito, then you really don't want Jesus. How does that look like? Well, I need to work all the time. Kaya wala akong time sa church. Well, I need to work all the time. I don't need to fellowship with God's people. Wala akong time mag-pray, magbasa ng Bible. I don't need that. Pero I'm sincere sa aking faith sa Panginoon. Teka muna, parang hindi consistent yun ano. May problema po ron. Maraming sinasabi yung sarili nyo, I don't need Jesus because I am self-sufficient. That's the danger of relying on riches and good works. These can blind us from seeing God and His goodness. We become arrogant, selfish, self-reliant, We know how to speak the Christian language, pero ang pamumuhay natin does the opposite anyway. Mga kaibigan, we are no different from this young ruler. Paniwalang paniwala tayo na hindi tayo ganong kasama, na tayo'y mabuting tao at dapat lang pagpalain ng Diyos. Gaya ng rich young ruler, paniwalang paniwala tayo na ang pera at ari-arian ang daan sa kasiyahan, ang daan sa kapayapaan, ang daan sa kaginhawaan, ang daan sa kasapatan, ang daan sa kaligtasan. Ito po ang dahilan kung bakit gusto natin maging matagumpay sa trabaho dito sa Dubai. Hahamakin natin kahit sino. Babaluktutin pati ang prinsipyo. Magpapakaalipin kahit kanino. Tatalikuran at tatanggihan kahit ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Dahil ang tanging pinanghahalagaan lamang natin at sinasamba ay ang perang iniidolo. At sa harap ng banal na Diyos, isa lang ang hatol, walang hanggang kamatayan. This is the rich young ruler. But wait, there is another rich ruler. Unlike the rich young ruler, this rich ruler is a good rich ruler. Like the rich young ruler, this good rich young ruler has everything. But unlike the rich young ruler, he is willing to give up everything that we might become truly rich in him. His name, this rich ruler, is Jesus Christ. Jesus gave up all the riches and glories of heaven, took the form of a slave, and perfectly fulfilled all the Ten Commandments. He did not just perfectly obey it outwardly, he perfectly obeyed it inwardly. But the sinless Savior was rejected by the very people that he came to save. He offered them life, but they sentenced him to death. Death on the cross. Jesus died willingly for our sins. And on that cross, he received the full wrath of God in our place. Jesus died. But on the third day, he has risen from the grave. That's how it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Friends, stop trusting in your money, work for your security, identity, and hope. Trust in Jesus Christ and let him be your greatest treasure. Repent from your sins and trust Jesus' finished work on the cross for your salvation. Christians, how's your attitude pagdating sa pera? Ikaw ba ay nagsastruggle sa inggit dahil ang kapatid mo, katrabaho mo, kababata mo, mga kaklase mo nung college, ngayon ay mas mataas pa ang sweldo sa'yo. Kamusta ang inggit? Alalahanin po natin that the gospel speaks to that. The gospel sets us free from people making more money than us because God provides everything we need in Christ. Madalas ka bang nag-aalala dahil ang tagal mo na sa UA at wala kang ipon? Kapatid, mas concern ng Panginoon kapag mas marami kang pera. Kasi doon tayo sumasalalay. We have this gravitate towards depending on it. The gospel frees us from getting our security in money and possessions. It relieves us from hoarding and hoping on money. Ang pagbili ba ng bagong kagamitan, does it make you happy kapag ikaw nade-depress? The gospel frees us from getting pleasures from possessions because we have received greater wealth from Jesus. He is our true treasure, our cure for depression. Do you take on careless and unwise debts? Kapag tayo po ay mayat-maya, nangungutang, or taking unwise debt or loans, We are taking money, and listen to this, we are taking money that God doesn't want us to steward. There's a time na kailangan po natin mag-loan. Yes. There's a time for that. Hindi masama yun. But if we take unwise loans, maya't maya, parang sinasabi natin, Panginoon, hindi kita kailangan, ako nang bahala sa sarili ko. Lord, ang bagal mo, ako nalang gagawa sa sarili kong kapamaraanan. We must trust that God will care for us and His provisions are laging sapat. Fight the idolatry of money. Sa paano paraan? Reminding ourselves of the gospel. Yun ang ginawa natin. But also by giving. Giving. Giving breaks the power of idolatry by treating this idol na parang wala lang. At this side of the cross, dapat mas compel tayo to give even a greater generosity. Bakit ka mo? Because Jesus gave everything sa atin. Hindi po binanggit ang pagkakaloob. Hindi ko binabanggit ang pagkakaloob dito dahil gusto natin maraming pera sa offering. Hindi po. Here's my point. Kasi God will always provide for this church. And I've known this for the past three years. And you've witnessed that. It's more of for the sake of your soul. Money and possessions are not our ultimate reward. And what is, number three and last, a lesson on true reward. Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Well, as usual, ito na naman si Peter, always has something to say, hindi ba? He is trying to elevate themselves in order to be rewarded by Jesus. Yung ba ang plano niya? In Matthew 19, verse 27, Peter said, "What then will there be for us?" Alam mo sa Tagalog nito? O ano meron sa ano sa akin? Ano sa atin? Eh madalas eh, ganun ba may patatay o para sa ano sa akin? Yun yung sinasabi niya rito eh. Clearly they were still thinking of material things instead of spiritual. 29 to 30, and Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or lands for my sake, for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the age to come and eternal life." What is Jesus saying here? Jesus said that whoever left everything for His sake at saka yung gospel, He will reward in three ways. Number one, sub-points. He will receive 100-fold now in this lifetime. Sabi na nga ba, basta maging faithful sa Panginoon, babalik yan, siksik, liglig, at umaapaw, di ba, Pastor? Yayaman kami ngayon. Magkakaroon. Yung ba sinasabi rito? Hindi po ito yung prosperity gospel. Hindi po yayabong ang ating bangka, hindi po yayabong ang ating relasyon. This should be understood in the context of new community. Sa mga nagtiwala sa Panginoon sa Kristo for salvation, like with the faith as a child, like a child, we now become part of a bigger community and a better family whose brothers or sisters are in Christ from different countries and lands and places. Yan ang ginawa ng Panginoon. Nung niligtas ka ng Panginoon, you're part of a bigger world ng mga believers. Yeah, papansin mo, pag pumunta ka sa ibang lugar, pumunta ka sa ibang region, sa ibang bansa, pag may nakilala kang Kristiyano, welcome na welcome, halos ikaw, almost common yung inyong language. Why? Because you're part of this family. Yan yung sinasabi po niya rito. And that's why God brought you here in this local church. It's a picture of that community that we will celebrate with pagdating kay Jesus one day. A relationship that is spiritual instead of biological. Number two, kasi ito, magugulat kayo sa reward na to, suffering. Suffering is a reward. Realistic si Jesus dito eh. He was very intentional nung binanggit ni Mark ito kasi ang audience niya rito is Roman Christians. They understand trials. But we need to understand is through trials and persecutions that Christian community will flourish and develop. And we understand that to be true noong 2020, hindi ba? We have seen it. Third, age to come, eternal life. Oh, we love this part. That there will be no more persecution, hardships, tears. Because the greatest treasure is Jesus Christ. Last verse, but many who are first will be last and last will be first. Mga kaibigan, darating po ang araw that God will evaluate yung mga lives po natin at lahat ng ginawa natin para sa Kanya. Those who are serving the Lord who are least noticed or appreciated or thanked will be first. Ano ibig sabihin yun? They will be honored in God's kingdom. Kaya kung hindi nakikita yung ginagawa ninyo, tuloy nyo lang. As long as tama yung puso ninyo sa Panginoon, you're doing. Hindi yung parang, hindi ko papakita ko to. Ayoko ng mga kasarap. Gusto ko kami lang ni Lord. Teka, baka may ibang klaseng yabang naman ang nangyayari sa puso natin. No. Do it for the glory of God in front of people or hindi sa harapan nila, because that will be rewarded. We need to remind each other as a church of this glorious truth, that we may lose everything in this world bilang Kristiyano, but the return is always eternally greater. Be reminded of this future grace that is before us. But for now, in this side of the cross, we are still called to remember. The reason why there is an eternal bliss is because there's an eternal God who died for our sins and reconciled us to God the Father. He has commanded us to remember through communion. Ang communion ay isa sa mga ordinansya ng Panginoon Jesucristo. This is an ongoing celebration of the unity that we enjoy together in Christ's death and resurrection. Ang communion ay tinapay, ay nilalarawan ang katawan ng Panginoon Jesucristo na napako po sa cross, at ang saro naman o ang kopa, ang kanyang dugo na lumatay sa kanyang katawan para sa ating kaligtasan. We have the privilege to remember Jesus Christ's death and resurrection by partaking communion. So, if you have repented of your sins and believe in Christ's finished work on the cross, ito yung reminder, ito yung warning, if ikaw ay naniwala, sumampalataya kay Kristo, Diyos, sariling tagapagligtas, you are welcome to join us sa communion. Kung hindi po, let the cup and bread pass you. Kung ikaw naman ay hindi member ng church na ito, pero member ka na ibang church, at ikaw din po ay sumampalataya sa Panginoon Jesucristo para sa kaligtasan, welcome din po kayo. Ngunit kung kayo po ay may tinatagong kasalanan o nakikipaglaro sa kasalanan at walang kalungkutan na dumadapo sa iyong puso o pagbabago, we encourage you to let the cup and bread pass you as well. Scripture warns us that there are severe consequences for those who take this meal, which symbolizes our unity in Christ, while at the same time holding on to sin divides the body of Christ. Father, maraming salamat po for dying for us. Hindi mo kaming pinatili sa aming kasalanan, you redeemed us. And thank you sa opportunity na masasariwa namin yon sa aming alaala ngayong gabi. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Jesus. Amen.